Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11 for our consideration of God's word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Let us hear the Lord's word. From 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts to your word. We are sinners saved by grace, and we need your word to strengthen us. We live in a fallen world, and we need encouragement. Help us to grow in our faith and apply these words to our hearts, and be our teacher and our preacher, O Lord, we pray. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Sometimes we have to refocus on things. Maybe there's something you haven't been paying enough attention to, and it kind of slips by, and you got to come back and say, you know, I got to really focus on this thing, get going. Or maybe you have, a good example would be going to the eye doctor. Maybe your vision becomes a little blurry. You go and you get examined for a new prescription. That improves your focus. Well, I believe these verses here in 1 Peter 4 are meant to call us to refocus and to be faithful. We are to remember and recognize certain basic truths that will keep us faithful and focused on our calling as God's people. So I've entitled this, Be Faithful. Be Faithful. The first thing I'd like you to notice here is found in verse 7 as we think about being faithful. First thing is recognize the time in which you live. Recognize the time in which you live. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. There's several things here I'd like you to notice. First of all, notice there is urgency. The end is at hand. There's urgency. It's getting late in God's time schedule for the world. You know, we await the next coming, the second coming of our Lord, and you might say that we're in the last chapter of a book that will soon come to an end, the history of the world. We at times have urgent matters that we often have to take care of. They become priorities. Peter is saying that God's people need to understand the urgency of the time in which they live. We are in the last days. We've been there since Pentecost. But the end is, that's the only thing we're waiting for now to be fulfilled in God's word, is his next coming. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 through 26, how we are at the end of the age, as he says. So turn there with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 through 26. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He would then have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, look at this, at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It says, Jesus has come. The promised Messiah is here. We're wrapping it up. Things are coming to an end. Now, we don't know exactly when that will be, but we are in the last days. We don't know how long it'll be. No one knows for sure. But I think we have to understand, as what the writer here, through Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying to us, the end is near. It's at hand. It's close. So there's urgency. So the first thing, as you recognize the time in which you live, there's urgency. Secondly, there is dedication. There is dedication in being faithful. Notice it says, be serious. Be serious. The word that's used for serious here is a compound word. The one word means to save, sozo, and the word friend has to do with the mind. And it's literally saving the mind. Be serious in your thinking. Think the right thoughts. Think biblical thoughts. Be dedicated to your Lord and to each other as we await the return of our Savior. But remember, be serious. It begins in the mind. Everything begins in the mind. So there is seriousness. Being faithful and dedicated involves a seriousness. Maybe you are together with others to deal with a certain problem. Maybe you're talking and things are going on. You're meeting for a reason, and someone says, okay, let's get serious now. We got to get this done, get this taken care of. Well, I think that's what he's trying to say here. Let's focus here. Let's remember we're not just living out days. We're living in the last days, and we're waiting for him. And it involves the mind. It involves evaluation, focus, concentration, thinking. It's serious because of the world in which we live. Dedication. And then also there's caution. Notice it says, and be watchful in your prayers. The word watchful means to be alert and to know what's going on around you and pray accordingly. In other words, you look, you observe where you are, the things that are happening, and you pray according to the scriptures, and you pray based on what you know, what God informs you of, what needs there are. We are to pray not just for physical needs, but spiritual needs as well. Spiritually, what is going on? How do we need help? What do we need to pray for? We all need it. It's no use to just say, oh, well, there's really nothing. But we all need it. We all have issues we need to pray for. Be watchful. Be alert. Look at Hebrews 10, 22 through 24. Hebrews 10, 22 through 24. Listen to what it says here. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, be watchful. Draw near. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. As times seem to be getting more evil as the years go on. You know, I believe he says that there is an emergency here. That God's people tend not to focus so much on spiritual things. You know, nowadays when there's an emergency, you might hear an alert on your TV or your cell phone, and you hear the reason for it. You hear this alert. It's a beeping. And they do that so that you would be alert and watchful in case you see something that they're looking for, something that's important. Well, the Holy Spirit is giving us an alert. Be cautious, be watchful, and faithful. Recognize the times you live in. Recognize the times you live in. The Lord's table today reminds us that we are in the last days. We have been, as I said, since Pentecost. The promised Messiah has come. We are waiting his return. But recognize where we are. Recognize that you and I live in a fallen world, and we need each other. We need spiritual encouragement. We need to help one another and to love one another. Recognize the time in which you live. There's urgency, there's dedication, and there's caution. The second thing I'd like you to notice is found in verses 8 through 9. Verses 8 through 9, recognize the importance of fellowship. Recognize the importance of fellowship. Verse 8 and 9 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Recognize the importance of fellowship. The first thing I'd like you to notice is a need to love one another. There's a need to love one another. Notice it says fervent love. It tells us how. Fervent love. The love that he mentions here is the word agape, the highest degree of love. A love that does what is right even when it's not reciprocated. Even when it's not reciprocated or people don't appreciate it, you do what's right, loving and what is right. And you see, we need each other as well, as he talks about gifts later on and how we are to use them. But we need each other. We also need to minister to one another with gifts that God has given to us. The word fervent is an interesting word. It's a compound word. The preposition means out of, and the verb means to stretch. Stretch out of. In other words, you're stretching, but it's got to go farther yet. It's got to really stretch. It's not just a little bit that we do. We really do. We really have to stretch. We are to have that agape love that has that kind of commitment to God's people. Look at John 13, 34 through 35. Listen to what Jesus says here. John 13, 34 through 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And again, it's the Greek word agape, the highest degree of love. You see that? See how important this is here? Jesus says a new commandment. Well, they knew they were supposed to love each other. That was taught in the Old Covenant. They all knew that. But the difference here is, as I have loved you. Now, when that becomes your standard, that is really a calling. That is something that does take that stretching to do. Love as Jesus loved. That's how we are to love one another. And when we do, we will know, they will know that we are his disciples. This is a need to love one another. Secondly, there's a need to forgive one another. There's a need to forgive one another. Notice what it says. Love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 8. For love will cover a multitude of sins. There are times when you are offended by some, maybe another believer, and you might say, well, you know, I know how much the Lord has forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive the other person for that. Something that you say, I won't bring up with them or anyone else. And that's important, not anyone else. So that's what you do. You go to that person, or maybe you don't. If it's nothing serious, you just say, okay, I'm going to forgive them because the Lord has forgiven me. And sometimes there's issues where we think that people are offending us when it's just circumstances. I read about a woman who was good friends with another woman at church, and she was walking by the person's car, and the person said hello, and she didn't say anything, and the person got offended. Why didn't she say hi to me? Well, later as they got in to the church and they were talking, she went over and she talked to her and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing today. I have an ear infection, so you'll have to speak loudly so I can hear it." So you see, there's issues sometimes that we don't understand. But there are times when someone sins against us, it's so offensive that we have to deal with it. So let's look at Matthew 18:15 through 17 for a moment. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. That's how we deal with serious offenses, that we go to that person. And actually, Luke 17, it uses the word rebuke. Now, there's two words for rebuke in the scripture. One is rebuke tentatively. Now, that would be where you go to someone, you know, I saw you with this man at a restaurant, and he gave you a kiss on the cheek, and I'm just concerned, is there something going on? That's how you would do it tentatively. There's another word which means to rebuke, assuming guilt. You're guilty. I saw you. This is what's going on. Doesn't take too long to know the kind of know which word Jesus uses. Rebuke tentatively, because it's in love. It's love. There is time. There is something we do for serious offenses, but there's also time when we can forgive one another for things that aren't so serious. The third thing is a need to care for one another. Notice it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable. Interesting. Hospitable is made up of the word, we have the word Philadelphia, phileo, brotherly love. It's not the highest degree of love, but it's friendship love. And then the second half of the word has to do with strangers or foreigners. And it's saying hospitable to those, be friendly, be open to even strangers, to new people that come to church or people that you're witnessing to. You know, show that brotherly love. Seek to be a friend. Seek to become a friend that you have the opportunity to witness to them. Question is, do we do this? Are we doing this? Do we recognize the time in which we live? Do we recognize the need for fellowship or the importance of fellowship? We need to focus on those things. That's what Peter is talking about here. It's very interesting. The word grumbling is an onomatopoetic word in Greek. It's gagousmo. Gagousmo. It sounds like what the word is. It makes the same sound. It means murmuring, grumbling, complaining. Notice that's what it says. Do it without gagousmo, without complaining, without grumbling. Why would he say that? Well, it's the reason. Well, because to do this, it involves time and commitment and a stretching of oneself to reach out to others. And as the scripture says, we focus, first of all, on the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have to understand that it's written there because that's what we do. We tend to grumble because of what's involved and what we have to do and how hard it is. Look at 1 John 4, 7 through 8 for a moment. 1 John 4, 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see that caring for one another? If we love God, we naturally should love one another. We need to be careful with criticism, that we say things in a good way, that we use proper words and say things that aren't so offensive. And we need good friends. That's the importance of fellowship, what we're talking about here. Remember David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20, 41 through 42, how they made covenants with each other, how they were crying, the kind of love that they had for one another. That was a true friend. true friendship. Or Ruth and Naomi. Remember in the book of Ruth, chapter 16 and 17, what she says, you know, I will not leave you. I will go with you. Your gods will be my, your God will be my God. And far be it that I will die where you die. It's a commitment. That's fellowship. That's love. We need good friendships. People that we can talk to and know and find safety in speaking with them. Recognize the importance of fellowship. The table of the Lord calls us to that because we belong to Him. And we have fellowship with Him, as John says. We are to love one another. Jesus went to the greatest degree of love that anyone could ever go through by dying for our sins. Thirdly, recognize the duty of service. You see this in verses 10 through 11. Recognize the duty of service. Verse 10, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Recognize the duty of service. We have a duty here. The Lord didn't just save us, and now we just sit and wait. First thing I'd like you to notice the necessity here. Minister to one another. We are to do that. We don't all have the same gifts, and we don't have the same degree of the same gifts. Sometimes when we are around others who've been gifted and have a real high degree of giftness, if I can use that word, we become intimidated if we have the same gift. I remember when I was licensed to preach the gospel, the presbytery was very large, and there were three of us that were going to licensure to be able to preach in the presbyteries, which is the step before ordination. And the crowd, the presbytery was beginning to develop little cliques, like, and there were those who were all contemporary. There were those who focused on other things. And then they had this group of scholars that were people who could read Hebrew back and forth and write commentaries and all these kind of things. So they split the presbytery up so that so many would go with the first one, so many would go with the second one, so many would go with the third one. Well, I got the group of all the scholars, of all those who were very gifted people. And I remember looking out over them as we were beginning to be seated, and I thought, why did this happen to me? You know, what's this all about? Then my mentor came up to me. I think he sensed it somehow. I don't know. And he said to me, Jeff, remember, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And that took some of the burden off. Yeah, we all need to hear from each other, whether you're gifted to a great degree or not. We need each other. The word of God becomes effectual as we hear it from each other. So there's the necessity. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 14 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 14. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact that the body is not one member, but many. Whatever God gives you, whatever gifts, they're important. Whether it's working to take care of a building, whether it's praying, Whether it's teaching, whether it's showing hospitality, all of those gifts are important. All of them. Years ago, we had a friend when we were married. She was crippled. She was all crippled up. She was converted from Catholicism by reading the Bible. And I got to meet her when I met Bev. And you would go in there and you would come out encouraged rather than you encouraging her. That's how she was. She had a wonderful spirit. And she told me that she was praying for me a great deal, praying a lot for me. And when she passed, I felt this kind of a emptiness because I knew she's not there praying right now for me. And but you see, you can have gifts of different gifts, different degrees. Just use them. It's necessary for God's church. We're all one body. We all have different gifts. And we need each other. Recognize the duty of service, the necessity. Secondly, notice the ability. Notice it says, with the ability that God has given you. With the ability God has given you. Notice here, as I said, we're not all gifted to the same degree, but use your gifts as given to you. Don't compare yourself to someone else. If you can teach, teach. If you're whatever your gifts are, use them. It's very interesting. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 for a moment. This is very interesting here. I'm going to read it how the translations have it now. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. And he gave them, and he gave some to be apostles, comma, some prophets, comma, some evangelists, comma, some pastors and teachers, comma, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There you see that. But what happened on years ago, there was the original language, there's no commas or periods. It's just all one. But there was a comma put in the old King James. And the comma was put in, I gave some to be pastors and teacher, comma, for the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, where it seems to focus that all the work of the ministry is on the pastor, teacher. If you put a comma there, but there really doesn't belong there because pastors and teachers edify and help and equip all of us to minister whatever God has given to us. So notice the ability, and thirdly, notice the goal that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever. The goal in all that we do is the glory of God. When we serve or minister to others, when you do that, you are serving, doing it unto the Lord. As if you're doing it for him. And he never forgets. Remember, the scripture says he never forgets when you give a cup of cold water to someone. And you see the doxology that Peter concludes with. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever? You see, you and I have everything we need to be faithful. And to resist the evil one. Because that's where the pressure comes. The evil one is putting pressure. He's trying to cause us to stumble. And look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17. Listen to what we have been given so that we can be effective ministers of God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have what we need. We have to use it. The Holy Spirit is asking you and me to recognize the world in which we live, recognize the importance of fellowship, and recognize the duty of service. You see, if you take the name of Christian, there's a duty that comes with that. You no longer live for yourself to please yourself, but for the one who purchased you with his precious blood. Be faithful. And let's remember the faithfulness of our Savior as we come to the table of the Lord. How he was so faithful for us. Let us now commit ourselves to be even more faithful to him. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we pray that you will bless us, that you will help us to see these things here in your word. We will be faithful. We'll recognize the time in which we live, recognize the importance of fellowship, and recognize the duty of ministry. We thank you for that, and we pray now that as we come to your table, Lord Jesus, that you will remind us how faithful you were and are to us, that we may rejoice and worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and turn to hymn number 186 as we prepare for the table, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Stand together and sing.
Most I sacrifice.